Hey, follow me on Instagram, Yes King Oliver, and make sure you follow and subscribe so you get a notification when I've released a new episode. You have a great day. So I'm finding that as I'm getting older and you realize that you're not a kid anymore and all the stuff that you were doing when you were younger starts to disappear. So when you're younger, you're free. You can go out when you want, come back when you want, wake up late, you're at your parents' house, eat what you want. There's really, you basically are a bird just flying wherever you want to. And you don't see what our parents have to have or go through to create that illusion of a perfect life. And then you move out, you get older, and then you get a partner, and then you start to realize, shit, it's not how it was even say 6 months ago when you've gone from living with your parents to being completely independent. And you realize how much everything costs just to have TV license, council tax, insurance for like case your house catches a light, flooding insurance. And then if you want a dog, that needs insurance. And then you need vaccines and the dog needs a jab. And you think, holy fuck, I haven't even got bloody TV yet. And I've got all this stuff draining me. So then you people lose their personalities. I've noticed my friends that they're not the person they were. They literally have been robbed of their personality because life has hit them and they are struggling to just cope as an independent person because growing up, their parents do everything and all of a sudden they're taking the role of their parents and they don't know what to do because these days we're not teaching our kids how to be independent. We're using them to fulfill this need for like need and feeling of comfort and fulfillment as opposed to understanding why our parents' generation didn't teach us that independence. So it's just you're shoveling the pushing the ball down the path and hoping like something else does it, and then you realize, shit, when I'm there I don't know what to do. I can't fix anything, I can't screw anything, I can't make anything. We're absolutely fucked. And I'm 28, I still haven't got any money, haven't got a career. And that's because I understand that the reason why we need money is to trade for a service or product that we want from somebody else, aka a house. But as you know, there's so many middlemen all trying to make an extra buck along the way that the cost of a house far exceeds the direct value of a trade. So a carrot for a cut my grass, or I'll pick some apples if you look after my cow, for example. And so you're never going to make it. So I'm not going to sacrifice my happiness and freedom for money for something I'm never, ever, 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 ever going to have. It's like waiting for, you're trying to run and catch up on a train that's left the platform. You're never going to catch up. So where do you go in a life that requires money for everything? How do you live a life without money if the only way to make money is basically to slave your ass off? And the answer is, if you just strip down all the basics of what you would as an individual unique person need to make you happy, irrelevant to what your friends and family and whatever you see in the media has, and the answer is people, food, and nature. Like it just goes down to the basics, and then you think to yourself, okay, nature's free, I can speak to any granny person on the street, I don't even need to know them, I get that connection. Food, anyone will happily make you fresh food. Anyone, you can go to the shop and make a whole meal for like £1. If you forget like Nando's and KFC and McDonald's and £7 for a burger, that £7, literally, if you're smart, can feed you for a month. And that excitement of making the dish, thinking of the idea behind the dish, inviting your friends around or even just strangers, that is all we need. And then you realize, wow, this life that I'm trying to create involves so much money, which is an illusion. So strip that back. What do I need? The basics: people, food, love, and nature. And I've got all that, so why do anything else?
Exactly. And you know what's crazy is, like, to I think the craziest thing for me is that, first of all, you know, parents, they have this, you know, expectations for us because, you know, they grew up in this society, in this environment, and they grew up with all these expectations. Go to school, get a good education. You make sure you have a good job. You make sure you have your first house before you're 25, and all these expectations. And it's very interesting to me that the people that actually also start going after these things, you know, I have a lot of friends that is, bought their house, you know, in their early 20s. They went to university, they went to college, they went all these things. And it's funny, now I'm 30 and I sit down with these people and a lot of them are lost. A lot of them are confused. A lot of them don't know what they want to do. And a lot of them don't know what they want to do with their future. And for me, I think this is something I always say to people, that I think, you know, school is not, you know, the way to go. I think if you want to truly find happiness in life, growing up, you want exactly what I did. And it's interesting because growing up, when I was from 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way to 20, I was considered a lost kid. You know, everyone thought I was lost, confused. He didn't know what he wanted. He's not going to go anywhere in life. Why? Because I was trying different things. I was traveling. I was learning new things. I went between probably 15 different jobs in a matter of 5+ years. And I learned so many different things. I did so many different cool things. And it's funny, all those things, you know, at the time, maybe I didn't look like success to society because I wasn't sticking to one thing. But really, this day and age, the position that I'm in, I'm able to help other people, serve other people, be a role model for other people. It looked like I was on the right path the whole time. And I always say this because this is it's an eye-opening thing. You know, from the moment that we're born, the moment a child is born, they're given a name, they're given a last name, they're given a religion, they're given everything that they're not in control of. So you actually, you know, your first 10 years, your first 15 years, as you come into this world, you are, you're just pretending and playing the role that has been given to you. So really, you know, the people that I always suggest that, you know, around, you know, like my kids, you know, I want to teach them stuff that you don't learn in school. You know, I want to teach them, you know, how to handle your emotions. How do you, you know, when you get super, super mad and super, super pissed off, how do you deal with it? You know, I want to teach them finances. I want to teach them the basics of real food. You know, I want to teach them stuff like that that can help them in the real world. But like, based on what you were saying, I think the biggest thing is that, like, I feel bad for people that grow up and they're trying to go to university and go, like, at the end of the day, nothing bad about that. People that want to go to university, they can go study and specialize in a field. But if people are going to university and going to get this job, going to get this house because they're attaching it to happiness, that is totally wrong. And I've seen so many people fall into that trap and then realize that, oh my God, you know, buying a house, going to school, getting in debt, you know, living like the Joneses, buying that brand new car, financing debt, having a bunch of credit cards is actually not the key to happiness. Like, happiness is totally far away from this movie, this play that my parents taught me to be in, right? So I think a lot of people, if they're curious though, like, this could be a good thing. You know, for me, from a young age, I knew I didn't want to go to university, I didn't want to go to college, I didn't want to have a boss, I didn't want to like conform to anything that society was pushing on me. I wanted to continue following my intuition and doing what I wanted to do from a young age. And it's interesting, a lot of people in my inner circle these days say, man, you figured out how to live life a long time ago. Like, I wish I started doing what you were doing a long time ago. Like, you look like, you know, from my early ages, I was the kid that parents were like, don't be like him. And then it turned out in the last 5 years to now, parents are like, I wish my kid was like you. I wish my kid spent time reading. I wish my kid spending time with himself. I wish my kid went into meditation. And it's interesting to me. Like, I always think of it. I'm like, what happened? Like, I just was continuously living my own life. Like, I was never trying to, like, do something for anyone else. And it's funny, I went from being the most hated to now being the most loved. And I think the biggest thing is what happened is that I didn't choose to follow that path of going to go to university, get a good diploma, then go find a job. Hopefully a company can hire you and then promise you a 40-year sentence, you know, and then hopefully that brings happiness. And then hopefully you find someone and then you two can go buy a house, mortgage a house for 25 years, another life sentence where you're, you know, putting a chain around your neck and you're like, hey, you don't even own the home, you know, you just own a little piece of it every month if you pay for it. So if you don't end up making all those payments, 20 years later, they just come back and take that home away from you. What's the point of that, right? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. And especially in a global world that we live in now, that we can truly find, you know, nature, you know, things that truly brings us happiness and joy. Like, we could have a podcast and go move to Thailand and live in a very, you know, cheap neighborhood, beautiful place, beautiful food, and still live life and really, you know, do the things that we want to do. And I think it's in North America and also in a lot of the first world countries where this image of like the good life, you know, make sure school, education, TV, all these things, toys, tools, everything you need. This image, I think, is not as represented in other countries like third world countries like Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand, India, Chile, Peru. So I believe that for people like myself. My goal is by the time I'm 40 to purchase a nice piece of land in Costa Rica, and then I'll be, you know, off grid, living somewhere in Costa Rica, off my own food, my own animals, and probably won't even have any of these social media things, because really I don't really even like it. In 2018, I got a flip phone. I had a flip phone for 6 months and I didn't touch any of it. And it's funny, the most exciting things happened for me in that year because of the fact that I got away from everything and I tapped inside, and by tapping inside, answers came up and everything came up. And while we're on this topic right now, someone watching this and listening to this, and they're like, man, I'm going to university, I'm going to get a good job, and I'm going to buy a house, and I can feel it. This is not the right track for me. I'm only doing it because my parents told me it's going to be the right track. And it's funny, when I look at my parents, they're not happy either. My mom is divorced. My dad is, you know, dealing with this. My dad lost his job during the pandemic. I've never seen him really, truly fulfilled, happy. I want to be happy and fulfilled, and I'm starting to realize that happiness and success are not, you know, two separate things. So if you're listening to this, what I will suggest for you is that you are actually fully in control of your life. If you're 20, 22, 23, 5, 26, all the way up to 27, you could fuck up the next 3 to 5 years of your life doing things that you don't know about, but I bet you will still gain so much wisdom from it. I want you to remember this, okay? You listening to this podcast right now, whatever age you are, from the day that you came into this world, somebody else gave you a name. Somebody else give you a religion. Somebody else even chose the language that you're going to speak. If you're a Canadian and you grew up in a Chinese family, you would have spoken Chinese by the time you grew up, okay? So just keep that in mind. You would have spoken a different language. You would have, you know, have standards and attitudes and beliefs based on someone else. So if you truly, truly want to find happiness, I would say find yourself first, because a lot of us don't even know who we truly are. A lot of us don't even know what we truly love to do, what we truly want to do. And I think that path of figuring yourself out for 5 years instead of going to get a diploma or something at university is much, much more transformational in the long run. And I know this from experience. I have friends that have taken my advice. I did this, and it's interesting to me that they went to school to become a nurse, childhood worker, paralegal, and then, you know, 3-4 years later, they're trying to go to school, just trying to get experience. It's not working. I get that message. Okay, dude, I listened to everybody. I never took a career advice from you because I felt like you were in the wrong path. For the first time in my life, I want to get your advice, okay? Because I listened to my teacher, I listened to my mom and dad, I listened to grandpa, I listened to everyone, and I did exactly what they asked me to do. And I'm here. I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. I have to get 4 years of experience before this company will even hire me. Like, I don't want to be a part of this rat race. Tell me, what do you think I should do the next 5 years? And then I go ahead and give them advice. First of all, it always ends up being tap into yourself. Start spending some time with yourself. Get the cell phone away. Get the boyfriend, girlfriend, every outside, and focus on yourself a little while. Second thing, grab a journal. Start journaling, you know. Tony Robbins says, quality questions leads to quality answers and a quality life. So for me, something that drastically really changed my life is the questions that I ask myself. And this is something that we have to consciously do it. A lot of people, like, if you're on automatic, you're always just thinking about, like, I gotta pay my bills. Oh, I don't have this. I don't have that. And we're always thinking in lack. We're always thinking in, like, we're not unworthy. We're always thinking in, like, a negative form. The mind is a very powerful thing in a way to where it's your biggest enemy in that sense. So what I ask you is, you should start asking yourself questions instead of having statements in your mind like, oh man, my girlfriend doesn't love me, or I don't think I'm going to make any money. Or instead, ask yourself, how can I love myself better? How can I find myself? You know, how can I truly find what I'm passionate about? And start asking yourself those questions. Our minds are the strongest, most powerful program out there. When you ask your mind a question without, it actually starts trying to find answers for you. And I'll give you an actual example. Back in 2016, I was looking to make an extra income. And it's funny, I started literally asking myself, how can I earn an extra income? And I just started asking myself that. And daily I would ask myself, and just sometimes I would journal about it, and I wasn't sure what was gonna come. And boom, about a week and a half after I started doing that, I ended up stumbling onto this Kindle course where it helps you how to create Kindle eBooks online, digital products. I started doing that. I created 4 digital products on Amazon. They're still on. They still make me a little bit passive income. But the example here is that I had no idea what I wanted to do. But by simply start asking myself, how can I earn an extra income, and repeatedly asking myself that, boom, the answers naturally came to me. So I would suggest you listen to this podcast, and now you kind of want to get on this path of finding your true happiness, finding truly what you want to do instead of falling into the trap of what your family is, to have a journal, asking yourself questions, because these quality questions will truly lead to a quality life by simply just doing a simple practice like that. And it's just, you know, it's interesting to me, like when I think about it myself, because I'm like, I almost fell into this trap when I was 20. You know, I almost bought a house. Like, I almost bought a house. I almost did a lot of these things. And it was like 24, 25 when I kind of became aware and I kind of snapped out of all those things. But I almost fell into this trap. And I think buying a house is the biggest trap ever. You know, like, I don't know if you ever heard of the 40-40 plan. You know, you want to work, you know, 40 hours a week for 40 years of your life so you can retire on 40% of your income. And pretty much die, right? So the 40-40 plan is like, I'm against the 40-40 plan. I'm more into, why not, you know, build something within 5 years, compress that 40 years of work in 5 years, build yourself something that's well worthy, and then eat off that for the rest of your life. So for me, for example, I'm building a real estate portfolio, and my goal is to have it at a certain amount by the time I'm 35, and that's going to pay me a conservative 4% for the rest of my life. So when I'm on my farm in Costa Rica, I don't have to worry about money because I have a portfolio that I've set up for myself. Second, you know, I have a lot of digital products and courses that are out there, my mentorship program. So they will be paying me enough to be able to live the life that I want, and I can do exactly what I want to do and continuously do that, right? And then at that point, I think, like, anyone, if they're looking to buy a house, I say do a house hack, you know, like go find like a triplex, live in one, rent the other two out, so it's paying your mortgage. In a couple of years, refinance it, pull the money out, buy something bigger, or pull the money out and do it again. Like, those are the strategies they don't teach you in school. Those are the strategies they don't teach you at all. Because remember, like, this whole school system started back in the 1900s. John D. Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie, these guys are the ones who started the school system. When they started the school system, John D. Rockefeller, exactly, these are his words. I don't want a nation of thinkers. I want a nation of I don't want a nation of thinkers. I want a nation of employees. It goes something like that. If you're curious about exactly what he said, Google this. So imagine this. The richest people in the world in the 1900s started the school board system. And they clearly said what they wanted from this. And if you look at the statistics, back in the 1900s, 90% of the United States, all the first world countries, their population were all independent. 90% of the population was independent. Only 10% was dependent on the state. After the school system and the school board and all of these things started back in the 1900s, 50 years later, in these countries, 70 to 80% of their population was dependent on the state, while only 10 to 20% was independent. So what they did was they paralyzed the mind, because they... And once again, this sounds very like a conspiracy, like, oh my God, they didn't want to hurt us. No, they didn't want to hurt anyone. What happened was, it was the Industrial Revolution. There was a lot of farmers and everything like that. Henry Ford had come out with the car, you know, the steam machine. There was a lot of things coming out. So why they started the school board was because they wanted to train these guys that were farmers and everything to turn them into the BBO to, you know, make cars and be in the assembly line and all these things. So they were just trying to train people to be specialized in one field. But it's not their fault. I always say that a job is just a stepping stone. You know, you should work a job because you want to work this job to make enough money to fund your side hustle. Or you want to make this money to make enough money to buy that first investment property. So I always say that, you know, everyone should work a job, but shouldn't be the end goal. The job is just a stepping stone. You're working this job to make enough money, to save enough money, to put it into an investment that pays you down the line, right? Pays you an interest. And I think that's what the biggest thing, someone listening to this, I would say, is looking into this and wanting to snap out of this rat race and this society system that people have set up for us, is the best way to do is grab a journal, do some research like that on yourself, find yourself. Second, if you have money saved up, instead of spending it in a house, spending it on things that's entertainment, use it, invest it on something that's a conservative asset and that pays you interest every month. And that's the process of being free from this modern day slavery that's set up for us.
See, that's the thing. Everything is about making that money. And if you go back to, you know, the school system, as you said, it was all about making them richer. I can't be asked to do it. So whilst I sleep, if there's 10 of you which I can train in school, then you come and do it for me so I can make 10 times the amount whilst you're sleeping. It's like online courses. If, you know, the dream is to make 10 times whilst you're sleeping. So you can understand how our mind is off, say, the Rockefeller system, but we understand that in life, you're either at the top or you're at the bottom. You're either being eaten by a dog or you're the dog being eaten. Dog eat dog. Yeah. That is life. That's no matter what, how you see it. You either eating the dog or you're getting eaten. You got to choose. There's no in between. And you can say rich get rich, poor get poorer. It's very simply that it all comes down to knowledge. It's nothing to do with wealth or power. I mean, you could say that that is part of the knowledge because you understand that you need a level of power with wealth, but it comes down to knowledge. And you know, my dad, he's done the same thing forever and he's not very good pay, but he is happy. And growing up, I used to really, that really used to annoy me how there was no drive in him. And then I look back now and I realize that he wins. If the game in life is about finding happiness and peace and contentment, period, he wins. He doesn't need anything, doesn't seek anything. He's happy, enjoys life. He, the most content man with nothing. He's like a monk in a forest. So if that is what we strive for, he wins. So people will spend time, including me, trying to find a way to make money and make enough money to have everything that we think is going to make us happy. So you want a laptop, you want a phone, you want a car, and then you want all this other shit. And it's like we're spending so much money trying to make more money that we're not spending, say, £40 on a lovely massage or £40 on a just something that makes us feel good. Like a boat trip. We don't think about boat trips and paintings and pottery and archery because that's, oh, that's for posh people or that's for whatever. It's normally just the usual cinema, TV, going out and for dinner, drinking. That just becomes the norm and that's not serving anyone any purpose. Go back to the simple things like just paying for a trip out somewhere, you know, walk around a maze or go to a Harry Potter museum. They're things that it's like, oh, I'm not a Harry Potter fan. Why would I do that? But when you do these things, you realize through experience that this was absolutely incredible. Going to a concert, a music concert, opera. Oh, I don't like opera. But you come out of the opera theater, your body's like, holy shit, that was incredible. And I know this, for example, I always used to spend money trying to make more money because I wanted to have enough money to invest in something which is going to make me money forever. To the point where I didn't spend a penny on anything. Not, I didn't want to eat because it cost too much money to eat because when I've got money, then I'll spend money on food, clothes, or I've got clothes. I didn't really live a life. And so now I've done the opposite. I've chased all this money and this, what I think is going to make me happy. I've gone back where I'm content with nothing, like my dad, right? And then I realize I still need money to live a modern life. If I want anything in life, a bed sheet, a top, this mic, it does require money. So now it's like, well, how can I make that money? And it comes down to if you do something that you're passionate about, as you said with your teaching, money, you're doing it for free, even you're getting paid. So the passion is the crucial element to making money in this modern century, I think, when everyone's a slave to somebody else. If you get enjoyment out of going and helping homeless people, somebody will see that and they'll be like, look, I have a homeless camp where we dish out dishes every month or whatever. Do you want to cook? And we'll pay you, I don't know, 100 quid. And it's like, well, the 100 quid's better than nothing because I wasn't going to charge anything anyway. And money does come through happiness. And
I was going to say, like this, I just want to give value to the people that are listening to this podcast because I went through this in my early 20s about, so it's definitely right that you want to find something that it doesn't feel like work for you, which is your passion, because when you do it, it doesn't really feel like work. So when you make money from it, it's just like a bonus for you, right? But what happened for me in my early 20s is that I spent so much time chasing to find my passion. And it was so weird because like I didn't do anything in the sense of where like I was trying to just find my passion for like a little while. I was literally doing the same thing. I was working on the oil rigs in Alberta. I was like in the construction field type of thing. But like I wanted to find my passion. And I was like searching stuff, like different things and different stuff, and like, but I wouldn't find anything. And only when I realized that the way to find your passion is by trying out a bunch of different things. So what I suggest and the piece of advice I would give to people in their early 20s is that you might not know what your passion is, you know that you want to make money. Society and this modern day has definitely painted a great image for people that in this day and age, you don't need to really even work a job. You can actually find a product. The social media stuff is there. Find a side hustle, find a business, and you can do it. So what happens is a lot of kids in their 20s, even earlier, they start trying to find their passion, so then it doesn't feel like work anymore. And like they're searching. That's not the way to do it. If you want to find your passion, right now you're going to school and you're finding you also have a job. So the way to find your passion is make a list of 10 things that you're interested in about learning. Okay? You write down, you know, I want to learn how to plan. I want to learn how to, you know, sell. I want to learn. Out of those 10 things, start trying those things. I want to learn how to be a good copywriter. Okay, do a course on that. So the best way to find your passion is by trying out a bunch of things. So what happens is you tried this, you tried that, you tried this course, you tried that course, you tried this exercise. And after a little while, you start getting a good understanding of what is it that I'm truly passionate about. And then once that happens, then now you can start working on doing that passion more and more and more. You know, start maybe make a YouTube video about it. Maybe, you know, come up with a course or maybe like talk about it more often. Whatever it is that you can do, start doing more of it. And then after a while, you truly know, like, this is something I actually love to do. I even if I'm sharing it with people, even if like doesn't make like I want to continue to do this. And for me, like, I'm 30 years old, and it took me only, you know, in the beginning of this year to finally truly realize what is it that I want to do. You know, I've been between like 15 plus different jobs, 7 different businesses, tried so many different things, but I always would let them go, even when I was making money, because I truly wasn't passionate about it. So the one piece of advice I would give anyone listening to this is that you want to find your passion, because if you find your passion and it's something like, let's say, making cotton blankets and you sell them on Etsy. Okay, awesome. And you want to do that and you're going to make money from it. But a lot of us are not really sure of what our passion is. A lot of us are just like confused. Like, I don't know. Like, I love to talk to people. Does that mean like my passion is sales? Like, I love to make, you know, like blankets and meditation pillows. Like, does that mean that's what I love to do? Is that my passion? I don't know. I can't answer that question for you. But what you can do is you can make those meditation pillows for like a month or so and just see how it feels. You know, see how it feels. What brings joy for you? Like, do you like making the meditation pillows because you have got some good feedback from people in your family that have tried the meditation pillows? Or is it you're making the meditation pillows because you actually like knitting? You know, you actually like, you know, putting this little piece of thing together. You actually like using the meditation pillow yourself, and you have seen the value of it when you're sleeping. So that's how you kind of start developing a passion towards something. So you want to do that for a little while, and then you might find out after a little while that, I was only kind of doing meditation pillows because someone said that I could make a lot of money, and I kind of got into it, and that was kind of my influence, and I didn't know. But after doing a little research and kind of diving deeper into myself, if truly it's something I want to do, I realized that I'm not really passionate about meditation pillows. I got influenced by a friend of mine who's seen what a good job I do, and she was like, oh, I could make good money from it, so I kind of started getting into it. So then, awesome. Then, so from that, you transition into another thing, and while you do all these things, I will suggest to keep working your job, keep saving your money. In this year where you're like trying to find what you truly like, what you're truly passionate about, all those things, keep that job, have an income, you know, while there's 168 hours in a week. If you're working a 40-hour, 50-hour week, sleeping 50 hours, spending 30 hours to eat, you will notice that you still have an extra 20 to 30 hours free that you can do something with. And that's where you develop your passion, and over time, you'll find it. And, you know, it is a crazy world. Like, compared to back in the day, like, money truly runs the world. Like, you know, it's such a, like, they have done such a good job of putting this man-made piece of paper into our system, into our psyche, that we cannot even think outside of it. You know, we cannot even think, like, unless you're like in a third world country. Like, I have family in Afghanistan, and it's interesting. When I was there 3 years ago, 4 years ago, for about a month, people there, like, you know, like, everybody just hanging out. Like, one in the afternoon, you see like 100 people on a road just hanging out, making tea, you know. But it's like there's no infrastructure, there's no like laws, there's no healthcare, there's no, like, it's a third world country, right? And these people are kind of like just struggling by. Like, these people are doing everything that they can to just live life and to make it, but like there's no jobs, there's no opportunities, there's none of that. So they're doing everything they can to kind of survive, right? So like, it's possible, but even in those people, like, they're not happy, they're not satisfied, because like they're actually looking for work. They're trying to make something happen, but just the opportunities are not there, right? I think the biggest thing would be is that, like, what I'm saying is that we just have to have a full understanding and realization that, okay, I definitely don't want to live in the system. I want to live, you know, somewhere in nature. I want to be free. I don't want to be attached to any of these things. You know, I have enough awareness that I don't want any of these things, but I do need a cell phone because I got to be in contact with some family members and that. So I want a cell phone, my laptop, because my work is involved in the social media and these things. I want to live in a nice little, you know, bungalow somewhere in the forest, you know, grow my own food. I want to meditate, and I want to have maybe a couple animals, and that's it. That's all I want. So that's the goal that I strive to do. Now, the second thing is, okay, so where would I do that? If you live in England and I live in Canada, okay, so where in Canada can I find a place like that? In Canada, Nova Scotia is a province that's on the other side of Canada. A very cheap housing, a small town, great place. I have a couple family, not family, friends that have actually moved from the city there to build their farm. And in the last 2 years, I've actually watched them. Now, like, she started with like one chicken, and now she has like 12 chickens, a cow, a pig. They're, you know, like a 10-acre farm. They're growing food, and she's so happy. She's living a life, and like that's what I strive to do. That's what I want to do more of, right? Of course, I also have some responsibilities where, like, I take care of my parents, you know, like I help them, and like I help pay the bills and stuff like that. So that responsibility is kind of definitely a weight on me because like I can't just go, right? But like if someone realizes like this is exactly what they want, a cell phone, a laptop, live on a farm somewhere. Boom. So now you know that. And if you're in your early 20s, that's so achievable. Anyone could do it. Even if you're in your early 30s, that's so achievable. All you got to do is just first of all, the hardest thing about this thing is to truly tap into yourself. Find out what is it that you actually want to do. And like, if you listen to this podcast and everything makes sense, you're like, wow, I want a farm. I want to live somewhere. And you haven't actually done this deep inner work in the sense of, you know, some questionnaires, spending some time with yourself, realizing what is it that you truly want to do. Maybe try a couple of things to find out what is it exactly that brings joy and happiness into your life. If you haven't done any of these things, and the idea of buying a farm and like living somewhere in a forest that really intrigues you and excites you and you want to do that right away, I would say don't do it unless you do that work. Like, do a little bit of research on yourself. You know, find yourself, you know, figure out what is it that you truly want to do. You got to remember, if you have not meditated, if you have not spent time with yourself, you have not gone on like a nature hike, you know, for a couple of days, you got to remember, whether you're 15, 18, 20, 25, you have truly never taken the time to spend time with yourself, with your thoughts, with your mind, with the things that come up, you know. So I think that is the number one thing to realizing what is it that truly, you know, brings joy into our lives. It's very clear for me and you, we want to be somewhere in nature. We definitely don't want to be attached to money, but we understand money definitely runs some things. So we're going to make money and do it in a way where we're not attached to it, but it's feeding our purpose. It's feeding our passion. It's feeding our soul. It's feeding our body so we can live that, you know, long, happy, peaceful life that we want. So that's something like, it's interesting, like nature, whether you want to live in a, like a big building in Tokyo, whatever it is, I always go back to journaling, spending some time with yourself to truly figure out what it is that you want to do. And when you do figure that out, do it. Try it. I guarantee you sometimes you will end up trying it after a month, realizing, nah, I don't really want to do this. And then you will try something else. Try something else. And I guarantee you, if you spend your first 5 years of your 20s trying things that you don't want to do, I guarantee you 5 years after, you will feel truly fulfilled and happier that you actually went down that path, instead of not going down that path and being 25 and still feeling the same as you did when you're 20, trying to find your passion, trying to find something that you like, trying to kind of do something. But if you try it, then you will fall out of this phase and you will fall into the phase of where you eventually, you will find something and then you can do more of that. And that's like the next phase of it. So I think that's a process that anyone can do. It's so easy, so simple. Buy a journal for $1 and start journaling and just figuring out kind of your deep desires that you don't even know are there, you know?
Yeah, so what I'm noticing is that there is guarantees in life like death, but there's also a guarantee that things always come back around. Climate goes from winter to summer, back to winter. Certain planets, it may take thousands of years, but they do come back after orbit. There is one also guarantee that things always come back around. what goes up must come down type of thing. Mm-hmm. And everyone's now dependent on somebody else.
Exactly.
Now, as you know, that can't happen forever. It's not about who's running the government and this is better than that, because it's the same. It's the same thing. There's too many problems that you're relying on somebody else to fix. So it doesn't matter whether God was running the country. Okay, there's still going to be problems that God can't fix. So you have to go back into yourself and realize that I'm on this planet for me. Society is only there to keep peace amongst the majority, but it's not there to run my life, apart from laws, which is just to keep peace. You can do what the fuck you want, right?
Exactly.
And so when you realize that it's not up to government or anyone else to do things for me, and you go within yourself, you find the answers to everything. And I do agree, if you're gonna go from left to right, from chasing this money pattern, following what everyone else is doing, and then wanting to buy a farm and having a few cows and a few pigs, you can't just say goodbye to your friends and say, oh, I'm just going to buy a farm. They won't understand. You won't understand. When they're going out on the weekend, all you're going to be thinking about is, shit, they're going out, I'm missing out. FOMO, for, you know, fear of missing out. And you're going to want to go back and do it. And then before you know it, you go back to the farm and the cow's dead. So you have to spend time with who you are to know why I have these thoughts. Why am I going down this path? Why do I not fit in? Why didn't I fit in? Why was I always different? You have to ask yourself these questions. You have to find answers. Otherwise, you'll end up killing yourself later on in life, because you never, you were still trapped from when you were, say, 15, where you were that little kid who was bullied at school, who never had any friends. And you understand, you're beating yourself up. Like, why was I that kid? Why has everyone else got a house and a mortgage and a girlfriend, and they seem to be happy? They've got a nice little dog and a family. They go out on the weekend for dinner, after work drinks, and there's just you like, why don't I fit in? I'm something wrong. And then you end up killing yourself because you don't fit in anywhere, until you realize it's a system where there's leaders who create the system and followers who run the system. We happen to have a mindset of a leader without the wealth, because we've studied these people, even though we weren't there at the time to get a part of their wealth pie. So then you look at everyone else and you think, wow, they're part of the system that Rockefeller, as we said, wanted to work for them. We are, say, an offspring of a leader. It could have been Rockefeller, Jesus, Monk, God, Trump, whatever. Just a mindset of a leader. So now when you look at these people, you don't hate them for how they treated you. You don't hate the school system. You don't hate the teachers for teaching. They don't know any different. They go to school, they get a job as a teacher, a doctor, a plumber. Oh, I'll choose teacher. And then they teach. And all those followers follow. It's not their fault. We are the fortunate ones to have the wisdom of how life works. And then when I became aware of all this, I forgave everyone who didn't understand or treated me bad. And I forgave governments because I hated them, and I forgave parents for not understanding. I forgave everyone. And then you see the pain in everyone else, and you realize I truly am the blessed one with nothing, because I have happiness that they do not, even though I don't have the things that they have, like a car or money or a house or just being able to get a McDonald's for 5 shitting quid for some potato chips, which if you had a farm, you could literally grow fucking thousands of pots of chips, and it would even cost you a pound, right?
Exactly.
And there'd be so much fresher, so much crispier. You can make a little fire, pour some oil. Maybe you can squeeze some olives to get some fresh olive oil. You can cook the oil, cook the chips, and you've got McDonald's chips, because it is literally just potato sliced with some salt, for as long as you want to. Yet you would spend a whole hour making that 5 quid to get some shitty processed McDonald's chips that at the end of the day is going to make you feel shit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like it's, I think the whole thing is a trap, you know, and the whole system is a trap, but realizing that it's a trap and then not blaming everyone, because it's so interesting you said that, because I went through that phase as well. Yeah, like hated government, hated the system. I thought that like they were trying to make us slaves, and like it was just such a, like I went through that dark, like I say, I went into the dark web for a couple of months, you know, those early 20s, and it was an interesting time. But I'm so glad and grateful that I got out of it, because during that time, all I wanted to do was literally just like, I was becoming such a minimalist. I sold everything, and I wanted to actually move to like Nepal or India. And I remember one of my friends used to make the joke. He's like, I kind of see you as that yogi who sold his Ferrari, you know, like that book. He's like, I see you just living somewhere in the mountains. Like, I just get this vibe from you. And it's interesting that I kind of got out of that vibe. And it's just, I think, understanding, you know, doing questionnaires and finding myself and trying to figure out things and asking quality questions that led me to understanding that these people are not bad. You know, the wealthy people are not bad. You know, nobody's bad. Everything is in place because to really help the masses, to really help everyone. So there needs to be control. There needs to be structure. There needs to be rules and laws and regulations, or everyone will start going crazy. Yes, some governments, some states, they start taking advantage of their people much more. They do, you know, not good things. But really the understanding that, you know, everyone is on this world, you know, trying to do their best, you know, trying to do their best for themselves, trying to do their best for other people. And at the end of the day, it's our full responsibility to figure out what is it that we want to do and go about it and go after it. And, you know, whatever it is, you know, it could be that you want to live on a farm, or you just want to, you know, stay and your job and do whatever it is that you want to do. And I think the biggest thing that somebody that could really have this biggest realization is that, you know, Jim Carrey says this. He's like, I wish everybody could get rich and famous so they can see that it's not the key to happiness. I think one of my biggest realizations that happened in the last 2-3 years is when I truly realized that happiness and success are two different things. For the longest time in my life, I thought it was the same thing. That the more successful I become, the happier I become. The happier I am, the more successful I am. And when that separation, that realization happened, it just was like the most mind-boggling thing ever for me. I felt so much lighter after that. I felt so much less like pressure on myself to perform in business and my job and trying to make as much money as I can when I realized that. And I actually went, I had like a couple of months break there during that time where I was starting to really journal on that. Like, happiness and success are two different things. What? Like, I thought the more successful I am, the happier I am, the happier I am, the more successful I am. Like, that they're two different things. And I started really like diagnosing that, diving deep on that. And it's interesting, as I was doing more of it, it started really, I started really realize, I understanding it. I understood it. I was like, it's so true. Like, happiness is totally something different. And then I started kind of journaling on the times that I'm happy. You know, when am I the happiest? When am I the most joyful? When am I laughing the most? When am I smiling the most? And then it's interesting. When do I did the same thing. When do I feel successful? When do I feel like I'm the most successful person in my family? When do I feel like I'm crushing my goals? What does successful feel like to me? Is successful like feels like happy? Whenever I feel super successful, am I smiling? Am I dancing? Am I feeling depressed? And it was so interesting to me that the feelings that bring me happiness had nothing to do with the feelings that bring makes me feel like I'm successful. And that realization was a big eye-opener for me, you know, and that's what led me to kind of do more inner work, do more work on myself, you know, putting the right foods in my body, the right herbs in my body, you know, putting the right things in my mind, you know, making sure that my self-talk with myself is, you know, good structural self-talk, making sure that I am staying grateful and I state of gratitude all the time. Because whenever we're not in a state of gratitude, we're in a, you know, it's not a good feeling. You're scared. You're like feeling down. Society is getting on you. The mind is trying to bring you down. So I always make sure that I'm in a state of gratitude, because I notice whenever I'm in a state of gratitude, that's when I'm the happiest. And some people could say, well, not everybody's grateful. Not everybody has the opportunity to be grateful. Not everybody has the life to be grateful. So how can I start practicing gratitude so I can feel those same vibes? Ask yourself this question and journal on it. What are some things that I'm grateful for in my life right now? You could be upset. You could be having a bad day. Anything could be happening. But I promise you, if you write this question, what am I grateful for in life right now? And just let the answers come to you. I promise you, you will come up with a couple of things that you're already genuinely grateful for in your life right now. And by focusing and directing your attention towards that, you will start feeling better. And as you start feeling better, that will be a good trigger to, it will help you to take better action. It will make you more aware of the things that brings you joy. And right now, you're also in this phase of finding your passion and all these things. Well, guess what? If you do this, you might end up finding out that what truly inspires you is talking about happiness. This is the other thing that I want. This is probably the biggest thing someone is going to take away from this podcast listening to this. So we're trained in this physical world, industrial revolution for the last 100 years. A lot of people don't realize that we're actually in the digital revolution now. So everything is like, you don't even see that. There's millions and millions of opportunities that you do not even see. Okay, so we grew up, our parents, you know, they didn't have these kind of things. And the best opportunity for them was, you know, like, yeah, school education, university. If you have talents, you're a good business person, you're a good salesperson, get into sales, start a business. Hopefully you're good at it, because business is really hard. You know, this is coming from a parent that's an employee. Business is very hard. You're probably going to fail, but if you're into it, do it, because that's how you can become successful. Working a job, you're never going to be successful. You're kind of be always slaving away. So what I would suggest for someone is kind of figuring out, like, what is it that they truly want to do? Is, I would say, is that, first of all, like, I kind of lost my train of thought on this, but my biggest thing, what I wanted to say was that if someone is listening to this and it just came back to me, I love that. I love saying to myself that I lost my train of thought, because my mind brings it back to me. So you're 20, 21, 22, 23 listening to this, and you're not aware that there's hundreds of other opportunities now that they weren't 100 years ago. So I'll give you some examples. If you're into, like, making toys, you could start building toys and making a YouTube channel and literally showing yourself 1 hour live every day making those YouTube toys, making whatever toy you're making. I guarantee you, if you're truly passionate about this and you do this every day, after a year of doing that online, you're going to build an audience. You're going to have some people that are into it. There's people that are selling, like, building, you know, custom couches at home and showing it live. There's people that are talking about Finding Nemo and, you know, selling, like, there's so much opportunity out there. So that's why I say, do the inner work, really try a bunch of different things, because, like I said, you might end up finding out that you went to school to become a nurse because you love to work people. And as you do this deep inner work, you realize that you don't like nursing, but you like working with people and making them feel good. So you decide to become a life coach and teach people how to build self-esteem, how to build self-confidence. You might be a woman that went through a, you know, a rough times growing up, and as you start finding yourself, you realize that you want to teach other girls how to find their true self, how to become their feminine self, how to, you know, find a great man, how to find a great woman, all these kind of things. So we live in a time and age that there's so much more opportunity out there for people that are leaders, that are creatives, that are chasing that free life. By doing this kind of work, these kind of things can come up and you can truly find out what is it that you like to do. And, like, I'm telling you, man, there's people making money doing the craziest things online that you would have never assumed that they're making money from it. And they're fully happy because they love doing what they're doing, right? So that's something that I wanted to share here. So you're trying to find your passion, try a bunch of different things. Open a journal, ask some questions, and do that for a couple of weeks. You know, if you want to make an extra income because you're working your job, and what got you super curious was that, like, yeah, I want to make an extra income. Start asking yourself this question. Put it on a piece of paper and put it on your bathroom and put it in your bedroom. How can I make an extra income? Watch the kind of answers to come. You want to find your passion. Ask yourself the question. How can I find something that I truly enjoy doing? Don't say, how can I find something I'm really passionate about? It sounds so, like, it just doesn't sound as, like, it doesn't touch my mind. You know, you want to ask yourself something that touches you. You know what I mean? How can I truly be happy? Like, that touches me. You know what I mean? Like, my mind is like, yeah, how can I truly be happy? So find the words that really touch you and ask yourself these questions. How can I truly find what I want to do for the rest of my life? And don't ask yourself just once. Ask yourself over and over and over and over again. Tim Ferriss talks about this very heavily, about asking yourself questions and letting these answers come to you. Our mind is the biggest program we have. And you can choose to program it however you want. So, like, your biggest asset is your mind, and use to, you know, use it in the most proper way. And hopefully that you end up do finding your passion. And I guarantee you, a lot of you guys listening to this podcast, you'll end up realizing that your passion is something that is literally has nothing to do with a physical product. Has nothing to do with, like, starting a physical business. It's actually something like a digital product. It's actually, like, you want to work with more people. And we live in a time and age where the pandemic and a lot of craziness in the world, as human beings, we are really, like, craving connection. You know, community and connection is one of the keys to longevity. And that's not there anymore, especially with all the stuff that's going on now. You can't even go to restaurants like you used to. You can't even go to the club like you used to. You can't go to, like, a public library like you used to, be around people. So one of the things why I host these retreats, and I'm getting these men groups together, and, like, I love to facilitate these kind of events where people get together, is because I'm really truly realizing that human beings crave connection. Human beings crave community. Human beings crave that interaction between people, right? And I think a lot of you guys listening to this podcast, you may end up finding out that deep down, interaction with other people, being part of a community, was the reason why you went to university, the reason why you started that job, why you started, you know, you went on that trip traveling. A lot of these things were these deep desires that you had that you weren't fully aware what the desire was, and you just kind of did the first thing that you were told, the same thing your parents did, you did because your friends did it. And that's why it always comes back down to that process of getting that journal, asking yourself those questions, and truly finding out what is it that you truly love to do. Because I'm telling you, man, you might end up finding out something that you're truly passionate about that you didn't see yourself doing a couple of years ago. Like if you asked me 5 years ago that I'll be teaching gratitude and meditation, you know, to people, I would have laughed. I was a construction, you know, laborer. Like, you know, I would have never even wrapped my mind around that. You know what I mean? But by doing this research, by tapping into myself, by doing the inner work, I found out what I love to do, what I'm passionate about, and what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I'm doing more of that now. But it took a lot of work, right? And that's what I'll suggest for people listening to this, to please be committed to the work and stay patient doing the work. And I promise you, amazing things will come to you.
Yeah, so I've also noticed the same, is that you could take any job, a shop worker, a person who does clothes, construction, it doesn't matter. If somebody just gets a job right after uni or just a part-time job, they end up staying there, right? Most people only leave because they're unhappy, right? Which means they should never have been there. But for people who just get a job because it's the next thing and they'll worry about it the next week later, they stay there. But it's not the industry, it's not the clothes, it's not the shop, it's not the, you know, it's the people. It always comes down to the people. I'll go to any company and they say, well, what would you love about it? Oh, it's the people, it's the community, it's the family. They, you could take any human being in the world, put them there. If they're nice, you would have connected with them and you go out for drinks with them. And it's always the people. It's not whether you're flipping burgers or you're folding clothes. It's always the people. So that just says everything about humans and nature. All the cows spend the same, they're all in the field together eating grass, doing the same thing. So when I was younger, I chased this money dream and I became so unhappy trying to make this million because I didn't understand how much it took to get a million, let alone how to make it. I just became isolated from everybody. Just let me find a way to make a million and I'll get back to you. I never saw these people again because that's when I had an awakening, when I realized that I am chasing a train. I exhausted myself. I'm never going to catch it because in my mindset, the train was always going to come, but it was never going to come. It was it's a belief that if you keep doing this, you go to work, you go to school, you get a job, you save up, you're successful, that you're going to get this happy life, like the American dream and all that nonsense. It's just the concept of kind of bettering your life if you take action. But it all comes down to making the other person rich. Like even online stuff, selling how to make it, how to be this better person. If you go to the roots of it, a small percentage of people end up succeeding because they were already on that path. Everyone else comes across this, oh, this yogi lifestyle, amazing, what could I got to do? Oh, if you just sign up. It always comes down to like the school system, empowering the person who's already been empowered. And it's not that that's bad, that's how it works. And the only way to find that one person is to market to the 100 people.
Exactly.
So this is why you can't hate the governments and the big businesses, because people are benefiting in some form, just not everyone is and can benefit from that thing. And so, yes.
And sorry to cut you off. Like the thing is, like, I just thought of, like, when you go, like, for example, if you go into the grocery store, there's healthy food, unhealthy food. It's not the government's fault that you go pick up the chips and the pop and not the fruits and the vegetables, right? Like, it's fully your responsibility. So exactly, like, it's funny, from this podcast, I kind of had a good, like, realization myself, like, really, like, yeah, the government is good. Like, you go live in a terrible country where there's no laws, rules, regulation. You buy a piece of land, some other family will come take it from you and kill your family, and you have no rights. You can't even do anything about it. I have so many family members that have lost acres and acres and acres of property in Afghanistan because, you know, other officials came and took it from them, and they couldn't even do anything. You know, I had a cousin that was killed because he was kidnapped. Like, I'm saying, like, crazy things can happen, right? So at the end of the day, we are fully in control, you know, our decisions. And once we understand that we're fully in control of our decisions and we're fully responsible for our decisions, and that the government, all these things are actually our friends. They're there to provide us solutions. You know, if I want to start a business, I can go to the, you know, the bank and they give me a loan. They'll, you know, that's the beauty of living in a capitalistic society in a way, because the opportunities are there for people that want to grab it. A lot of people are just not, you know, motivated, ambitious. They don't want to do the work. They're in the trap so deeply that they are not willing to do that work to get there and find that out. So they start just blaming other people, blaming things, you know? And that's why for me, like, I always, like, if I hear someone complaining and blaming and I talk to them, I ask a couple questions, you can truly find out in a couple of minutes how that person is so trapped in their own mental barriers that they cannot even see that this is all opportunities for them. You know, the government, the healthcare, everything is there for them to take advantage of. Just like the job is there for you to fund your next business, fund your next side hustle. But a lot of people look at a job as this like a lifelong thing, and that's why they're never happy about it. But if you took a job with the intention of it being a one-year plan, a two-year plan to fund, make enough money to fund your next business, to start your little restaurant, to buy your little farm so you can start, you know, growing and food. If you look at it like that, that's also another way to kind of start, you know, living a much more fulfilled life, because now you know that you're in with a plan. You have a plan with this job. You have a plan with this. This is what you're trying to do. This is what you're going after. And I think that kind of sets a different side of types of expectations comparing to someone who is working a job and getting a career and like their intention is to work there for the rest of their lives. And deep down, they know they don't want to do that. But deep down, they know that this is the way they were taught and this is the way. And I think those are the people that it's like the hardest to really, you know, show them that there's more to life, because they're so stuck and trapped in their own kind of mental barriers that they cannot even come out of it. And even those people, like, you know, if they open a journal, they ask some questions, they will start, you know, coming to a realization. They will start coming to an awakening through these kind of practices, right? Because at the end of the day, the people that are very sold on the job, university, you know, process, like this kind of stuff, those are the people that are conditioned the hardest and they're really stuck to the program. And those are the people that if they realize that, hey, you have never really taken the time to understand yourself. You have never really taken the time to, you know, do what you want to do. Everything you're doing right now is actually just you being a product of your parents. You're a product of your teachers. Did you know that? Are you aware of that? I think the biggest thing people for in their 20s that are living this cycle where they're not thinking about their passion, they're stuck in this 40-40 plan. Those are the people that ends up, you know, hitting the hardest, because they end up going to school for like 10 plus years, realizing nothing happened. This is not the key. This is not the way. And then now they turn around to like, okay, what do I need to do? Like, what is it? Those people, like, it seems though, like, you know, in a way, like, for the longest time, I actually thought, like, those people are now wasting so much of their time. But really, that's the experience that they needed to experience to find what they needed to find to become who they want to be. Those people usually appreciate that, you know, self-discovery journey, journaling, asking questions, much more than the guy that starts at 19, 20 and kind of doing that. Because he doesn't know any other way, and he's kind of like, this is just from my experience. I have had some friends that went to school for like 7-8 years, they realize it's not what they want to do, and then they start like a business and they start all stuff like that. And they're much more motivated and driven to make it happen than the people that, you know, start, let's say, at 17, 18, 19, and they don't end up figuring out the online space, or they don't figure out that the business, or they don't figure out what they truly want to do. And what they do is they just keep jumping from e-commerce business to a digital advertising business to a construction business, and they're like trying to find their passion and they're trying to do these things, and they don't realize that, like, you need to first of all, like, find what you truly want to do. But the person who goes to university, goes to school for, you know, at 28, now they're like done school and they go to this big firm that they were, you know, they studied for 4 years to go work at this big bank, and the big bank is like, amazing, you got your diploma, your master's, everything. All we need from you now is just 4 years of experience. And right away you're like, what? And you kind of discover the trap. You discover the scam. You're like, wait a minute. Wait, this, no way. I can't believe I fell for this trap. So you're telling me now, I'll give you an example. Somebody that wants to be an engineer, they go to school for like 8 years or so. Then they need like 4 years as a junior. So by the time they're like 38, 40 is when they can actually make like a full income as an engineer, which is what, 80 to 100K a year. So now you're making 100K a year, paying $50,000 in taxes. So you're making only $50,000. After your expenses and everything, you might be able to save like $20,000. You gotta work another 5 years to save $100,000. Now you're 45. Like, I'm sorry, because I know you're not happy if you're 45 and you went down this path. But those people that are 28, they graduate, they're an engineer or something, they're like, I don't want to do this. This is just crap. I don't want to do this. And they start doing the work to find that side hustle, to find their passion. Those ones end up being more successful. Why? Because the school system taught them one thing that helps them very much in this path of finding yourself. It taught them the value of patience and work. Because you go to school, you study a semester for a full year. Then you study study to do the test, and then you do the test. So through that process, you learn consistency, you learn persistence, you learn the value of work, you learn the value of information, you realize all these things. So now when you take that mindset into finding your passion, finding a questionnaire, it's so much easier. You know, I remember I wrote 100 things that I like to do before I die. I remember doing that, and it felt like it was like a 4-hour exercise. The person that went to school, they're going to go through that so easily, because they're the person who has wrote, you know, 5,000-word essays and spent 8 hours and 10 hours writing something. And so when they get, you know, to the point where like, yeah, just, you know, you want to find yourself better, ask yourself quality questions. Write a list of 100 things you want to do before you die. I bet you have never done that. I bet you've never taken the time to focus on what is it that you truly want to do, because you've been kind of following this all your life. Like, when is the last time you figured out what is it that you truly want to do? So I want you to take a couple of hours, write a list of 100 things you want to do, and we'll have a talk about it after. That person will be serious about it, will commit to it more, will actually do it. But I know so many 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds that one hustle to the next hustle to the next, and they're trying to do it, nothing is working. And if I tell them, like, hey, man, instead of that, I think you should just take, like, a couple of days, couple of weeks to kind of just find out what is it that you enjoy doing. You know, what is it that, like, kind of triggers you and brings you happiness and joy and stuff like that, without it even making you money. Those people, they don't even do it. They don't even take the time to put 100 things they are passionate about. They don't even ask themselves quality questions. They kind of just keep chasing and chasing and chasing. And listen to what happens to those 19, 20-year-olds. When I meet them when they're 23, 24, and let's be honest here, okay? So out of 100 people that do that at 18, 19, 20, one or two will be successful. Like, one or two will actually figure out the online space, all that stuff like that. They'll make money. Not saying they'll be happy, but they'll figure out the money part of it. The other 98 of them, guess what? 3 years later, 4 years later, 5 years later, they're back to finding a job and finding a university program to go do, because the hustle that they were sold on didn't work. They didn't realize that it wasn't the hustle that they should have focused on, that they should have focused on finding what is it that they truly like to do. But they don't know that because they didn't just spend 8 years doing something they didn't want to do, right? So that's kind of like one of the benefits of the people that go to university, go to school, fall for this trap, because once they realize it's a trap and they come out of it, they go even extra hard on figuring the passion, figuring out what is it that they need to do. But the kid that, you know, 18, 19, 20, trying all these different things out, after a little while, he quits and he's like, yeah, my parents were right. I should have just got that job. My parents were right. I should have, you know, started university. Look, I tried those things. None of them worked. What wrong mindset, right?
What I find amazing is that we're halfway across the world, and I agree with 100% of what you're saying, and we think very similar. Promote anything you want to promote right now.
Awesome, there. Thank you for having me on the podcast, guys. I have my own podcast, Aware Alpha, streaming on all platforms, where I talk about how to become your own most masculine, aware warrior self, aware emotional intelligence, goal setting, visualization, everything that I've done that just drastically changed my life in the last decade. Aware Alpha, and also on Instagram, the page is Aware Alpha, Facebook Aware Alpha. On Instagram, you can also find me a gratitude manifesto. Also, it's an ebook that I'm releasing, teaching people how to practice gratitude. And my personal page on Instagram is Mohammed Saifi 1. Follow me, ask me any questions that you may have. I would love to connect with you and share any more things that I know that could bring some value for you, and vice versa. Thank you again for having me there, Oliver.
Right, wait there, I'm just going to press stop. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Remember to subscribe and follow, so when I release a new one, you get a notification. And follow me on Instagram, YesKingOliver. Ciao, amigos.